If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome in. This is episode 76, BJN Radio. Cam Lewis, Tyler Yaremchuk. Cam, this Jays team is not coming as advertised. This is not good.
Yeah, this isn't the movie that we wanted to see. We were told there was going to be a movie. And so far, the movie sucks. It's a damn shame.
I mean, you even think about like where they were, let's say, first, whatever, few weeks of the season when there was kind of that buzz and that excitement, you know, the comeback win over Texas, all that stuff. Like, oh, everything felt so good. It was like, yeah, we're going to roll. And the way this thing has just absolutely fallen apart over the last 2.5 weeks here, it's remarkable. Like, I can't wrap my head around it.
No, I never really expected the team to go through a cold streak like this. Like you, I kind of thought, okay, if the Jays are going to have maybe a poor run this season where they're losing a handful of games, you know, everyone's going to have, or mostly everyone's going to have one of those stretches where they go 10, 11 games and only win two or three times, that kind of thing, you know, kind of normal. I thought it was going to be because, you know, the bullpen was burnt out or the starters weren't being that good, but they were hitting. I never thought we'd see this offense with this talent get shut down for this period of time, especially now Teoscar Hernandez is back and has been back for the past, you know, 7 games. And the offense still hasn't taken a turn for the better.
Yeah, like not a lot of no excuses right now, right? Like they're just flat out playing poorly. And I know you can, and we've talked about it too. You can sit there and be like, oh, like, you know, eventually you'll start hitting with runners in scoring position. Like that should kind of, you know, regret or come back to the mean a little bit. But at the same time, you can talk about how, oh, things might get better. They have one win in their last, 9 days of baseball?
Yeah.
Like that's, you can talk about, oh, things will get better. This, at the end of the day, they're not playing good enough right now. Like they're not putting together competitive at bats. It's not even like these games are particularly close. You lose 5-2 to Tampa. You lose 3-0 to Tampa, like 8-2 to Cleveland in the doubleheader. Like it's just nowhere near good enough.
Yeah. Just it feels like right now, I think the other part that kind of really compounds it is the fact that they've also just been so bad with the eye test specifically. It's the things you notice. It's the things where anyone who just tunes in, maybe someone who's not a 162 baseball games fan, but someone who likes baseball tunes in and they see the things the Jays are doing right now. And they're like, wow, this team is dog shit. This is like, this is what they look like in, you know, 2010 when they were bad. Like that kind of thing. They're swinging at everything. Even when they do get runners on base, you don't feel like they're going to score because you just don't really see clutch hits. It seems like everyone's walking up to the plate with a count at 0-2 already. I mean, they're making like goofy errors in
the field. Chapman just throw to second and then Espinal tries to barehand it quickly. Like what's going on with that?
Shocking. It's just stuff you really don't expect to see. And it's hard to say exactly what the cause is, but I guess that's just baseball. And it's like these stretches do come and you expect them to come during the dog days in July and August when everyone's burnt out. You just don't expect to see them this early on. We thought, you know, they started off quite well. They had quite a bit of momentum. It looked like they were having a good time, home run jacket, packed out stadiums in Toronto. And then it's just fallen off a cliff and it's weird. It's, you know, all you can say is, wow, what the fuck? This roster's too good for this. Surely they're going to bounce back eventually, but they haven't given a single sign at all in the past week and a half that would indicate that anything's going to turn around soon.
They finished the series going 3-for-11 with runners in scoring position. We know that's been a big problem. They left 15 runners on base in the three-game series. Like, it's just a bunch of stuff, simply not good enough. Let's get into the three up, three down, though, for this series at the Trop. We should have known that bad things would happen at the Trop, and it wasn't going to be an enjoyable weekend. But perhaps the... I don't even know how to describe it, but like, of course, George Springer goes down at Tropicana Field, right? Because you can't just lose a series. You have to lose a series and have bad things happen to you. I know he came back to DH, but as a fan, I will never get over the trauma of whenever he goes down being like, oh boy, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. I remember last summer in Seattle when he jumped into the wall, and that really seemed to knock the wind out of the team sails for a while. And almost every time in the outfield that he dives for a ball, or when he's batting and maybe takes an awkward swing or something like that, I'm like, oh geez, no, this is it. Here it comes. It's unfortunate. It's a jarring thing to have one of your team's best players be one of those guys who's, I guess, I don't know, everyone loves saying this, but he's injury prone. He is. He's dealt with so many different injuries. And yeah, it just has to happen at the fucking Trop. And that's what we said when we were talking, when we had our spaz out podcast last week after the Yankee series. It's like, oh, they're going to go to the Trop. This is the exact last place to go when things are going poorly. Because not only are things going to continue going poorly, something bad's going to happen. Something bad did happen. But thankfully, though, apparently it's not that serious. It's just day to day. So at least he's not on the injured list. That's the one thing we can draw from that.
Yeah. 100%. Like, he's sticking around. You don't have like the 10-day IL. Like, remember last year early in the season when we were bitching about how like they would sit here and be like, he's fine, he's fine, he's fine. Then on like day four of saying he's fine, they'd be like, ooh, he's going to the IL now. Like, felt like they did that with like 6 or 7 players early last year, and it made no sense. But
yeah, that was a weird, at least we're not dealing with that this year. Like, it's that's the one thing that made last year worse than this year so far, I think.
100%. Our second down, the Bats had their worst week of the season. And Andrew Stoughton had an interesting tweet where he pulled up all the numbers of kind of week by week with the caption, well, surely it can't get worse again this week. And I feel like a fool for sitting here right now, staring down the barrel of, you know, a 6-game homestand against two teams that are, you know, fairly beatable. The Mariners are good. The Reds are fucking terrible. But I'm sitting here going, well, it can't get worse this week, right? But that's been it's that's not the way it's gone out for the last 6 weeks.
No, I mean, it's like I just said a few minutes ago, they've shown no indication to suggest that they're going to start playing better. I mean, yeah, they faced some pretty good pitchers in New York and Tampa, so that would explain the poor week, but they were also facing guys in Cleveland that weren't amazing pitchers either, and they didn't hit particularly well. Even in the Tampa series, they got shut down by some relievers that aren't Tampa's best. So yeah, like you said, they're going in Seattle and Cincinnati, but all the pitchers they're going up against with the Mariners, they're fine pitchers. They're at least middle of the pack. And then Gilbert's maybe their best starter. And then Cincinnati, for fuck's sakes, they just threw a no hitter.
And lost.
Well, I mean, it was against the Pirates and the Pirates won the game, but they threw a no hitter. So, I mean, there's the Jays have shown nothing to give you the indication they're going to get better. Last week in those games against the Yankees and the Rays, they put up a 66 weighted runs created plus. I mean, the worst week they had previous so far this season was the previous week, and that was 81. So it's just continually dwindling down. And I mean, you look at the guys one by one at the plate, and the approaches aren't really improving. I mean, Matt Chapman over the week, Tampa, New York, had what, like one hit? Teoscar only had 3 hits. There was the one dinger in Tampa that was sick, but he only had 3 hits. He hasn't taken a walk since returning from the injured list.
They moved Chapman up to the leadoff spot for that second game, which is granted the game they won, but he went 0-for-5.
Yeah, and not a lot of competitive at bats, and that's kind of the thing. I mean, there's really at this point 2.5 guys that you think are going to get on base when they come up. It's, you know, Springer and Vladdy at the top. And then I think we all have a soft spot for Santiago Espinal because he seems to get on base. And those are the only 3. After that, it's that's where we're at right now.
It's not a good lineup right now, which is just stunning. I can't believe I'm saying that right now on May 16th that we're sitting here and going, wow, the Jays lineup is not good right now. And I'm not doom and gloom yet. Obviously you're not, right? Because there's still what, around 500, just under 500 now. So it's not time to necessarily freak out, but it is getting more concerning with every episode we record.
It's just hard to find positives. The thing is, if there was, you know, if they were lining into outs, if they were, you know, facing the best pitchers the opponents had, if they're, you know, putting up amazing at bats and then striking out on a great slider, it's like, ah, fuck, whatever. It's some bad luck. Yeah. But they don't look competitive.
No. They don't at all. And that's a great way to put it. The third down we have are the two errors from Matt Chapman, a guy who is not getting it done with the bat, but at least you'd sit there and go, hey, at least he's doing it with the glove, right? Well, no, that's not the case either, because they were in that ball game and I was sitting there watching going, okay, 0-0. We're heading into the sixth inning. Maybe this is like a big late game or surge we'll get from them. That's like a turning point, right? And I'm really hopeful that with Manoah on the mound, they find a way to squeak out that win. And then of all people, it's Matt Chapman who throws a ball into the outfield and it ends up costing them. I don't want to say it cost them the game because they didn't score any runs. So probably they would have lost regardless of if Chapman made that play either way, but still just an ugly way to put runs on the board in a close game.
Yeah, Chapman has been so extremely down bad recently. Like his bat has not really come around for the entirety of the season. I mean, look at his slash right now. It's 128, 259, 347 for a 606 OPS. That's like nowhere near where you thought he was going to be, right? Like even when they traded for him last year off of a down year from Oakland, he puts up a 716 OPS, hits 27 bombs. You're like, okay, you'll get the boost from playing in an AL East ballpark rather than a fucking cave in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And you're probably going to put up at worst like a 730, 740 OPS kind of thing.
This year 30 dingers, 35 dingers. Yep.
Yeah. That's kind of what we thought was inevitable. And he's just looked completely lost. Like he hasn't been able to adapt to the surroundings. And I mean, yeah, other guys are having cold starts too. I mean, I think the one guy to look at immediately just to kind of draw a comparable is Marcus Semien still having a hell of a time in Texas. And I don't mean to just bring this up as like, oh, well, like, you know, Semien's struggling too, so it's okay. But I mean, it's just interesting to see a guy like that having a bad time, because Semien's got a 428 OPS through 32 games for the Rangers and hasn't yet hit a home run, which is nuts to me. So, I mean, there are guys that are performing poorly around the league. It is what it is. But the thing for Chapman is the poor defense is just completely out of character. I mean, there's never really situations where you see Chapman perform like that. And you have to wonder if something's really in this guy's head or what's going on.
Yeah, and it's, you know, not like it's a bad week now, right? It's been snowballing here for a while, and that's just the big concern with not just Chapman, but everyone right now who's struggling, is that it's not like it's one or two series where they're struggling. It's been a handful now where they're just failing to get any sort of momentum. Let's get into our ups and try to string something together here. The one thing that was a positive in terms of the bats was the return of Danny Jansen, who had himself a nice series. He went 1-for-2 in the second game of the series that they ended up winning. He also, he went 1-for-2. He hit that dinger. Like, having him back, and no disrespect to Heinemann, but Jansen's a better big league hitter than Heinemann. So it's an up that Jano's back, right?
You're not on the Tyler Heinemann hype train?
I love his magic videos on TikTok. I'm a big fan of those.
I'm also a big fan of him starting fights with the New York Yankees. He single-handedly cost the team the game by demanding that Josh Donaldson get beamed. No, this is an obvious one. Like, having Danny Jansen back is huge. It'd be really cool if his bat did come through, because, I mean, since he came off the injured list last year, down the stretch in the season, I know a lot of it came in September when you're facing kind of more random pitchers, but I don't think that's quite as big of a thing now that you're not allowed to have 40 guys on your bench anymore. So you're not seeing his dog shit of pitchers in September. But Jansen was on fire last September, and he was on fire in spring training as well. Spring training doesn't really mean shit, but still, whatever. He came into the season, was rolling, had a good start to the year, got hurt, came back, and it's another home run right away. So that's like, oh geez, maybe this guy's finally found his bat at the big league level. Like, he hit really quite well in the minors, and we all thought when he came up, hey, Danny Jansen's a bat first catcher. All he's been so far is good defensively and kind of a light hitter, but maybe he's kind of finally hit his groove.
And that would be a very nice boost for this Jays offense. The second up we have is Ryu, who returned to the bump in Tampa, goes 4 2/3, allows 4 hits, only 1 earned run, 3 strikeouts. You know, he faced 18 batters and they didn't really do a whole heck of a lot off of him. It was the only win in the series for the Jays as well. That's a guy who, like, I get Ross Stripling was good and all of that when he was up or when he was in the rotation, but having Ryu at even like 75% of what he was a few years ago. If you can get that level back and he stays healthy and as a consistent contributor in this rotation, that's going to go a long way in this team winning more ball games over the next 2 months.
Yeah, I would more than happily take exactly this from you at this point.
Yeah.
You know, go through the lineup twice, maybe make your way in a third time and only allow a run or two, go 4 or 5 innings. I mean, it's kind of funny that that's what we're saying at this point.
But that's all he needs to be, right? Like guys like Gausman and Manoah and maybe one day Berríos, those will be the guys who save your bullpen, right? Who come in and every time you go through the rotation, you're hoping one or two of those guys goes like 8 innings and then gives you a rest day for everyone in the pen. Ryu, you don't need that from him as your fourth or fifth starter.
No, you don't. And that's pretty much it. Like when Stripling was rolling good, it was, oh, we're really impressed with Ross Stripling. He's going 3-4 innings. Maybe he hits 5 innings and allows like 2 runs. That's what we're thrilled to see. So, I mean, it's not ideal at the price point of 20 mil, but just given the context of where Ryu was at to finish last season and where he was starting things off this year, I will more than happily just take that, you know, number 4 starter-esque stuff. And I think the fact that he did it against Tampa is a positive thing too. He's had a difficult time with the Rays in the past. Like think back to playoffs in 2020, they gave him the extra start and the Rays just, they knew what was coming. They just drilled them. So, I mean, it's a good team for him to toss a good outing against because they're a good lineup.
Yep. The last up we have, and this is maybe the most important, I don't know, and maybe I'm just down in the dumps about this right now, so it's hard for me to say that, but you had the Manoah comments about Chapman. You had comments coming from George Springer as well. It feels like this team isn't, or they're doing their best to not let these struggles get to them mentally. It feels like this group isn't letting the losses kind of, and they're definitely not having fun right now. I'm not trying to say that at all, but they're mentally, they still seem to be in an okay place. At least that's what they're giving off to the media, whether it's true or not. But I liked Manoah's comments about Chapman after.
Yeah. Like Manoah said, Matt Chapman's accomplished everything at third base that you ever could, you know, 3-time gold glove winner, and he's allowed to have an off day. I think that coming from a young guy on the team is a very impressive way to handle it. Alec Manoah could easily spaz and be like, oh geez, like, you know, our team's got to be better and sharper behind me. I mean, I don't think you're going to hear somebody say something like that, but he could get away with it because he's not wrong. But instead he does the veteran move, the good teammate move, and comes out into the media and, you know, has the guys back, which I think is great. I remember back in 2013 when the team was completely imploding. I really don't think that this year's team is going to wind up being the 2013 team. They're wildly different for many ways, but it always felt like there was kind of a bad vibe or a bad energy with that team. And it really felt like doom and gloom, end of the world, negative. Whereas as bad as this team's been over the past week and a half, 2 weeks, it does not feel like that at all. It feels like they have a pretty decent mojo going still.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully they can keep that up here because, again, you have a 6-game series or a 6-game homestand coming up against teams that, you know, are worse than you in the standings, right? So, this is a good time to turn it around. You're back at the Dome. This road trip is over. And it was a long road trip, too. And I think that obviously, you know, can potentially weigh on a team. So they're back at the Dome. We'll get into that in just a second. But that was our 3-up, 3-down. We touched on it lightly. I mean, the fact that the Reds, who we'll see in a little bit, the fact that they no hit the Pirates and lost is a peak moment of the MLB season for me.
It's really funny. The Reds they're really something else. They're 9-26, and it feels like it would be shocking if this team managed to win 30 games.
They're so bad.
It's sad that teams exist like this. It's a shame. Like, I feel like there wasn't really a lockout, but there was, I guess we didn't miss that much in terms of games, but I feel like the whole point of that lockout was to get teams to stop doing this. And meanwhile, Cincinnati's rolling out, just create a player lineups, though, kind of ironically about them. And this is something that's definitely going to be noticeable in the series when they come here this week, is that fucking Brandon Drury is like their best hitter.
Yeah.
He's an 854 OPS.
He might be an all-star this year.
He's got 7 home runs. He's going to be an all-star though. Who else on that roster? You can put the all-star game. I guess you could vote Joey Votto in as like a veteran thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that, like freeing Joey Votto from this mess would be sick. It's kind of a damn shame to see this being the kind of dying days of his career.
On just an absolute dumpster fire of a team, dumpster fire of an organization.
Just a nothing team. Like, there's going to be nothing memorable positive from the Reds this year. And I hope I'm not jinxing this week's series by talking shit about them right now. But I mean,
like they don't even have 10 wins yet this year. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves because we got a Seattle series, but like, man, this is a week for the Jays to get some positive momentum going.
Oh man, another one here. If we want to add it all up, the Reds also have a pitcher with a 1.59 ERA and a much higher FIP, and a familiar name in Connor Overton, who used to be on the 40-man roster last year. So this guy's going to throw a no-hitter against the Jays on like Thursday, and Brandon Drury's going to hit 3 home runs. Brace yourself.
Nothing but positive, Coombsy. Let's look ahead a little bit here. Like, we don't need to dwell on what's happened over the road trip and all that. Like, it sucked. No one's pretending that it didn't suck, but I think everyone's just maybe a little bit exhausted from all the negativity. So let's instead be negative about the Seattle Mariners. They got off to actually like a decent start, I thought, to the season, but this is their last run here since April 26th. They started a series with the Rays, dropped 2-3. After that, they started a series with the Marlins, dropped 2-3. Got swept by the Astros, dropped 3-4 to the Rays, dropped 2-3 to the Phillies. Their most recent series, though, was taking 2-3 from the New York Mets in New York, where they won a pair of one-run games, lost a one-run game. So a tight series for them against the Mets. But they come in under 500, 3 games under 500, I believe here. Their run differential is -8 as well. So a little bit better than the Jays -15. But the Mariners are also 7-12 on the road. The Jays at home are 10-6. You need to win two of these.
Yeah, you absolutely have to. The Jays are moving into a kind of a stretch of the schedule right now. It's not necessarily soft per se.
Yeah.
But they're facing teams now that they're going to be in the mix with for wild card spots. So, I mean, I'm not going to write the Jays off for the American League East. I'm not doing that just yet. But, you know, you're playing games against teams like Seattle later on in the month, or the White Sox, the Twins, teams like that are in the playoff picture. And those are the teams you'd like to beat. So far, they haven't done well against the Yankees and the Rays in the division, which hurts them, but they've done well against the Astros, another team that's kind of in that playoff mix. So they need to continue doing well against a team like Seattle. Seattle's not that good. They come into the year with, they're kind of a puzzling team to project because they went 90-72 last year inexplicably, despite being like heavily in the red in terms of run differential. Yeah. They won all these one run games and just had a bullshit record. But then they signed Robbie Ray, Cy Young winner, in the offseason. They have a handful of top prospects like right in the mix to kind of join the team. And it's just like not gone particularly well for them. Their offense is well below average. Starting pitching's mediocre. It's not great, not terrible. And the bullpen just simply doesn't have the magic it did last year. But yeah, like you said, Seattle's not a great team on the road. Jays are a good team at home, or well, they were before they fell off a cliff. But
On the year, though, still good.
Yeah. On the year, all told, they're still good in Toronto. I think this is a prime time for them to kind of get their shit together. Seattle's not that great, but the Jays, this is a series in which they should win two games for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Wrapping it up, taking a look at our friends at PointsBet Canada. The Jays come into the game tonight as they're okay favorites. -160 on the money line, +130 on the spread. I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is due to have a big game right away. This guy hasn't hit a home run since May 5th in Cleveland. That means he's gone like 32 or 33 at bats without hitting a dinger. Back at the Dome, I like Vladdy at +310 to hit a dinger tonight. So that is my betting advice for the game. You could even parlay that with the Jays covering the run line for like a nice +560 over at PointsBet. I like Vladdy to bounce back. He is one guy I'm looking at and going, you know, if he's going to be in the MVP conversation this year, this is a series against Seattle where Vladdy can show he is the most valuable player in the league to his team. If he goes out and has a monster series and the Jays have an offensive explosion and take all three of these on the back of Guerrero, I think he's capable of that. Like, I think this is a chance for him to make a statement and be like, I am going to will this team out of this slump.
Yeah, that'd be a fantastic thing to see. I mean, the Mariners don't have phenomenal pitchers going. They have Chris Flexen, who last year was their kind of out of the blue, quite good starter, but his underlying numbers weren't all that impressive. Flexen this year has got a 4.24 ERA and he's walked like half as many guys as he struck out, only strikes out 5.8 guys per nine. And then it's Logan Gilbert, who's in his second season in the league. The Jays knocked him around last year when they faced him, but he's been really good this year. He's got a 2.13 ERA. And then in the finale, it's Marco Gonzalez going, another one of those fit buster guys who has shitty peripherals, but a solid ERA. He's at a 3.38 ERA, and he's only striking out 6.2 guys per nine. So the Jays are striking out like mad. and they're facing a bunch of guys save for Gilbert, who don't strike anybody out. So this again should be a time for the bats to wake up. The interesting thing here is that the Jays will miss Robbie Ray. He's not getting one of the starts. Then also we don't yet know, apparently two guys on the Mariners don't have the COVID vaccine, so won't be joining the team. We haven't learned yet who those guys are, but there has been speculation about Ray.
There has been. I've seen that. You mentioned Flexen, who gets the start in the series opener. In his last appearance, it was against the Phillies. 5 innings, 9 hits, 6 earned runs for Flexen. So he's coming off a pretty poor performance, pretty much his worst performance of the season as well.
Speaking of, I need to bring this up because I thought it was fucking hilarious when I was writing about the series before. The Marco Gonzalez start that he had against the Tampa Bay Rays is like one of the weirdest lines you'll ever see. Hmm. So he goes 5 1/3 and allows 2 earned runs, both of which are on solo homers. But he also allowed all told 6 hits and 4 walks, only struck out one guy. Like, how do you only allow 2 runs on solo homers while also having that line? How does that make sense?
Yeah, that is, that's a unique.
That's the kind of game where if that happened to the Jays, people would flip the fuck out. They score 2 runs and solo homers. It's like a Danny Jansen 2 home run game. And then they, you know, they ground into like 7 double plays.
Don't put that stuff out there. Don't put that into the universe.
No, I put a lot of bad things into the universe on this podcast already. This is bad. We've been bad for a few times in a row now.
Yeah, it has not been a good time here on Blue Jays Nation Radio. I can't imagine the people listening are having a ton of fun just constantly hearing us like bitch about how bad things are going. But hopefully that turns around here. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say they have a good series. I'm going to say, you know, they've got 15 runs in their last 5 games, I think it is. Yeah, 15 runs in the last 5 games. Here's my bold take. They're going to score 15 runs this series against the Seattle Mariners.
An average of 5 runs a game. That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah,
it's not that's not even a bold offense, take. But it's better.
That's not.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Take. I'd be thrilled.
All right. Well, then there you go. My hot take isn't even that hot. But Coombsy, I think we're in for a good week here as the Jays host the Mariners. Shout out to our friends at DoorDash, Ding Dong. And also shout out to our friends at Twig and Berries. Promo code NATION15 gets you 15% off. And PointsBet Canada. Talk to you later in the week, Coombsy.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.